Right, hello. Before we get started on reading the astrology chart, know that when I read astrology, I primarily focus on identifying patterns and using the symbols that have universal meanings attached because I don't really view astrology as predictions or defining someone for who they are, because astrology is really more about identify the individual to identify within themselves what they can relate to, especially if the if we lived a long enough time to gather experiences, we can kind of compare on why we reacted a certain way or why we have a perspective towards ourselves or another a certain way. That's really all I aim to do with astrology analysis. And I love to include tarot, Kabbalah, human design, all the spiritual modalities, because these are wonderful tools for really self-empowerment and allows us to reach a point in our life of identifying aspects of ourself and integrating those aspects, because that's when we truly know ourself and then we accept ourself and we become the creator, right? Here we go. We have a 12th house Pisces. Okay, not going to talk about the aspects such as the squares, the trines. I just wanted the visual to be there for the subconsciousness to take a snapshot. And that is all. Okay, we're going to focus on the planets, the zodiac signs, and the houses. With the planets, they actually will reveal clues, and they represent pre-birth intentions before we incarnated and had this body to go forth and create experiences and to evolve our consciousness and grow our awareness. Planets represent pre-birth intent to accomplish something that we started before coming into this life, and we want to work on what that is and try to have it finished off before the end of our physical life. Okay. We actually are born every day and we die every day. That's symbolic from being awake and going to sleep. But the longer we can carry our physical body, the more impressions life will give us and support us. And the more experiences we will create, and this will evolve our consciousness. But with working with this concept of the planets being pre-birth intent, know that everything's is experimental work, right? We're trying to get things successful in our life, and that represents the information and evolution in this course of one lifetime. So each planet on this chart, if we look at all 10 planets, the planetary archetypes, they represent a potential to accomplish something in a certain area of life. The houses, they are the areas of life. Okay. The houses, they give us a general idea also where we come from in a past lifetime. I don't like to say past because I'm trying not to talk linear here, but they give us an idea of where we come from in other lifetimes. And the size of the house can represent roughly how much time we spent dealing with certain areas in those lifetimes. And what I mean is that the small houses and the small houses are pre-birth needs. Okay, we're going to come into this lifetime. The area that has a small house, for example, the third house looks to be the smallest in the chart. The third house and the ninth house, they are going to be more difficult to experience. And there might even be a degree of trying to avoid this type of conflict. But this is really where we need to try to focus on growing our consciousness by facing these difficulties of the third house and ninth house areas. Okay. Now, first, note that a small house is less than 30 degrees in size. Okay. A large house is greater than 30 degrees, such as the first house. All right. 30 degrees in itself is balanced. All the zodiac signs on the outer part of the wheel are the 30-degree houses, okay? And then we incarnate with an unbalanced chart intentionally so that we could go forth and create experiences and attempt to balance out our chart. So by working on third house areas of life, this house is all energy is dynamic. This house will grow and expand and balance out the oversized first house. And that's just to give an example. This applies to the whole chart. All right. With your ascendant, oh, wait, also with zodiac signs. Normally, I read a chart with a lifeline and I will begin at age zero and go all the way around the chart, which will reveal the types of habitual patterns that we create in our life. But the zodiac sign that is experienced is the type of expression that we will exhibit. Okay. Like, for example, born at age zero, and probably all the way. Let me turn on the Zoom pin. Let's see. Gotta figure out how to do it real quick. Here we go. So at age zero to probably about age 15. I haven't done the math for this large house. And probably up to age 10, just to simplify it. From age zero to age 10, you would have an Aries type of self-expression, an Aries type of self-expression towards yourself, which would, of course, be projected outward and seen by others. But then at age 11, your lifeline, the body is growing. Your emotional body would begin to start to develop right here at age 15. So just understand that this is symbol in a way that we can gauge why we reacted a certain way at a young age. Okay. And then as we live on all the way over here to age 52, that's when we come to the middle of our life symbolically and integrate everything we've experienced up to age 50, 51, 52. And then we enter the second part of our life. Okay. That's how the lifeline works. It's a very powerful way to view our astrology chart. All right, let's move on to the next slide. Here we have an image that I created. I like to try to create a good visual for the subconscious because our ascendant is how we are conscious of ourself, right? Our awareness of our being. Also, the first quadrant of our chart as we live our childhood to adolescent. This is the personal development quadrant. We reached a nadir, the subconscious realm, the bottom part of our subconscious. This is our inner consciousness, our intuition awareness. Second quadrant's family development. We reach our descendant. This is consciousness of others, awareness of our relationships. We also begin to develop our social development, our midheaven, outer consciousness, and this is where our rational awareness is. So just know that, like the Aries ascendant in your first house will basically exhibit Aries qualities in your day-to-day basis throughout the course of your life. All right. There'll be a mixture of other zodiac signs and their qualities, but overall, Aries is your ascendant. And you have Libra on the other side to sort of balance it out as your descendant. But it's important to kind of learn these zodiac signs because we can define repeatable circumstances that happen in our life. We can know that there are repeatable patterns from first and second house, which is early childhood. And these patterns will repeat over and over and become established until, and will keep playing out for the rest of our life until we consciously and willfully choose to respond to circumstances differently. Okay, the subconsciousness will compulsively keep playing out these habitual patterns. All right. Now, with your Aries ascendant, well, let's get down to your chart and then we'll talk, okay, about your ascendant and midheaven a little bit more. Here's a quick snapshot of, or just an overview of characteristics within the house. Okay. All the houses. I also wanted to give a image of not only your 10 primary your planetary archetypes, but the four major asteroids, your north node, your south node, your black Lilith, I mean your black moon, which is Lilith, your part of fortune, the Chiron. All right. We're not going to discuss all of these today, but at least you have an image to reference. Okay. Here's the chart we're primarily going to focus on today. I use tarot, okay, because tarot is a very powerful symbol for the subconscious mind. And know that your subconsciousness already knows these symbols because tarot has been in the collective consciousness of humanity for many, many millennia. All we have to do is consciously choose to recognize it, spend some time even studying the symbols and the knowings and the meanings. Now, this will actually allow your subconsciousness to unfold awareness growth will occur. Okay, spiritual unfoldment, consciousness evolvement will happen, but only because of having the knowing consciously and suggesting to our subconsciousness that, hey, I see that Aries is assigned to the Emperor key four. And that's just using the English language, but your vision, your consciousness is actually taking in the visual. And words don't even have to be said, but the subconscious knows how to respond when it sees key four, the Emperor. Okay. A lot of it will be maybe unnoticed, but these are tarot is very powerful for when it comes to symbols. And I highly encourage everyone just to spend some time with some good understanding of tarot. All right, so we'll use tarot a little bit, and let's go back to your Aries ascendant. So it's actually interesting how your chart is almost aligned with the home zodiac signs, right? Normally our charts are turned a little bit where, for example, I'm a Cancer ascendant, so my Cancer's in the first house, but Aries is home of the first house. Well, for you, your chart, your personality, your temperament in this lifetime is Aries first house, along with it being at home. So really all 12 of your houses and 12 of your zodiac signs are at home. That's interesting. And your chart's almost balanced. Okay. You almost have a 90 degree four quadrants. It'll be important for you to achieve balance between your Aries and Libra. All right. You got your Aries here. You got your Libra descendant over here. Now, Aries is all about freedom of expression, right? And Libra, on the other hand, is about creating balance. So Libra also has it'll br bring that limited self-expression that is that could be invoked by society or family, just to give an example. So there's a part of you that the way you view yourself will be freedom of self-expression. And then the way you view others around you could have a limited scope of self-expression. Okay. And I think a lot of this is, could be clues from previous lifetimes where you may have been confused in some relationships and maybe even over gave too much to the other. And in a way they reacted by retreating or leaving and like not just disowning on you, not accepting you in this other lifetime. So you there may have been aspects within yourself in other lifetimes where you're unaware with your desires for yourself and others. So there was that confusion state of trying to figure that out. So in this lifetime, it's important to develop a strong image and become confident and build your self-worth, love thyself. But just watch out for creating a self-centered ego and excluding others, right? We don't want to do that. But instead, because Aries is the house that we develop our ego in at a young age. All right. But instead of focusing on developing a self-centered ego or even subconsciously reacting in a self-centered way, you could focus on making the divine choice and developing your divine self-ego. See how the perspective shifted a little bit? My divine self-ego. We are all fragments of the divine creator. So I am going to rise, my ego is going to rise to the divine self ego instead of the human self ego. All right. Now your midheaven, let's one more time. Let me touch on this again. You're going to be very ambitious. You're highly ambitious. And with it being in Capricorn, your success may not be achieved quickly or easily. But it will come. It will come. The goal is to be to persevere. Okay? Because you may be confronted by traditional standards, or society may lack to accept change. But you have a Cancer nadir down here, right? So this is going to be your balance. Cancer is going to balance out with your Capricorn, and Cancer will help you be more flexible to adjust to other people's attitudes. All right? Because there's going to be a part of you that's going to be moving forward. You have the vision, and in a sense, we don't want to omit other viewpoints. We want to be open to all viewpoints, all vantage points. And this is probably the big lesson when it comes to perseverance, and not to try to burn bridges, because everyone's going to reveal to us, because we're all mirrors, reveal to us aspects about ourselves. All right. It's kind of important to know, especially with Aries in the first house, to know that we need to be open to other people's opinions and vantage points. Okay. All right, let's talk about, I'm going to change the color to red, because your first quadrant right here is ruled by Aries. All right. Now, with Aries being assigned to the Emperor, and that's your tarot key for when it comes to personal development, we can think about key four, the Emperor. All right. The ruling planet for Aries is Mars. So, with the knowing that Aries rules your first quadrant, which is personal development, we can think about Mars as the ruler for this entire quadrant. Okay, it rules the first, second, and third house. Yes, each house has a zodiac sign, and that zodiac sign has a ruling planet. But as for an overview, your personal development, Mars is the ruling planet. This means that, okay, so first house, second house, and third house. Your first house, you can go back and look at the attributions, but this is where at a young age you build a physical body. The second house is the development of the emotional body, along with the other second house attributions. And the third house is where we develop our mental body. Okay. But this, all this is occurring as personal development. In your life journey, and if you're able to categorize your life development in a way where you have personal development, family development, social development, and even career development, let's just keep it simple by saying that you might be having difficulty with personal development, whatever the case may be. Fill in the blank. You can think about Mars, and in your first house, focus on Mars, focus on the first house, which is Aries, and it's at home. This will help you return to your flow. This will help you return your personal development to realign on where your life is guiding you. Okay. This is symbol. This is symbol. This is penetrating the subconscious level. We want to impact the subconscious with our conscious mind, our conscious sight, our conscious suggestions to our subconscious that I know that my personal development is ruled by Aries expressions, and Mars is the ruling planet. I can use Mars attributions to help with my personal development. Okay. Let's talk about, I'm going to erase. Now I'm going to talk about the, I'm going to briefly talk about, these videos are supposed to only be about 30 minutes long, but I keep going over because there's so much that I want to talk about. But with Venus and Aries, you love feelings and desires and you love relationships, but you might have difficulty sustaining the romantic interest in relationships because after the initial exciting spark resides, then there'll be a part of yourself that needs or will want that again. And so with Venus and Aries, yeah, you love it. You love the relationship and you'll be attracted to strong independent partners, but the calm, peace individuals, not so much. In the beginning, okay, in the beginning, this is about personal development because you do have Libra over here. And as you live your life and you get older, this will balance out. But at a young age, concerts, rock, just rock and roll, having fun and lots of fire. And that's what Aries is. If you look at the symbol of Aries right here, this is a seed in the ground. And what normally happens when a seed burst through the earth, it's actually symbolic it for a flame. It bursts through, boom. It's intense. The pressure. All right. But with your Venus in the first house, all of this is who you are. All right. It's not good, not bad. It's just who you are. Just You're very much aware of your personal appearance, your charm, your attractiveness. And you have Mars here also. So you have the feminine aspect, this fiery feminine aspect. And then you got the fiery Mars aspect. Mars is at home in Aries. You have this warrior type of attitude, very bold, very courageous. And you feel it is up to you to take initiative and go after your goals or desires aggressively. You're very self-reliant. Mars in Aries means you're very self-reliant. Now, a lot of this, when I know that I'm talking about the planets and the signs, when I say you, okay, these are symbols, your personality. You may not resonate with some of this that I'm saying, but I'm speaking in symbol. So Mars can be irritated. Mars and Aries can be irritated when others offer advice or direction directly towards you. Like, whoa, I got this, right? But you do love a good challenge. You have a lot of energy. And you're a type of trailblazer with lots of stamina. But again, one of the major lessons for the soul in this lifetime is to develop perseverance to complete, which to complete long-term projects, all right, or long-term goals. All right. Well, I think that's enough for first quadrant. Let's get on to the second quadrant. You have Moon in Leo. All right. But before I talk about your Moon in Leo, wait, before I go to this next one, I think this is important to say. So previous lifetimes, it seems that the potential was played out where relationships were issues in these other lifetimes, okay? And that's fine. Really is. And that's nothing more than a clue for in this lifetime for you to love yourself. Love yourself first. And then this will reverberate out and affect others. And instead of others in this unbalanced confusion type of perspective with relationship with yourself and others, you'll be able to attract very strong and healthy relationships that align with your energy and your vibration. Okay. And when I say align, the alignment could be, it may not appear energetically as aligned, but what we aim for in relationships is the compatibility. All right. This is why it's important for yourself to recognize this. All this energy in your first house and your personal development. All right, second quadrant, family development. Now, this is a large quadrant, means it's just barely larger than the first quadrant and the third quadrant, which those are pre-birth needs for development. So, family development in this lifetime, you might not have the desire or the intent to develop a family. This chart shows that the white picket fence, the 8 to 5 job, and all of that is not your vibe. Okay. But we can see you have your moon in your fifth house. Fifth house is home of Leo. And of course, your Leo is here at home. So you have a warm, loving, generous, affectionate, genuine, sincere, strong sense of personal integrity. And what that means is you don't like emotional games and dishonesty, especially with all your fire in the first house, and you have this fire in the fifth house. Yeah, you're not gonna play with the emotional games with yourself or with others. Okay? You'll save everybody a lot of time. And how people react is their business. As long as you're not causing harm, and if you're causing harm, then you're actually harming yourself, and there's a part of yourself that you haven't discovered yet. And that is part of the lesson too coming in, right? Relationships with others. But you are very emotionally expressive. You may even dramatize your feelings a little bit and act them out, which to hide them would be very difficult for you anyway. All right. I've already seen your strongest vibration in your chart, and we'll go over that in the last slide. And I see why. You are who you are through symbol because you have a lot of fire and you are to be seen by others. Okay, it's just going to be finding that balance. So keep your childlike openness and playfulness. The world needs to see it, and it'll be healthy for your energy to express it. Fifth house is self-expression house. Okay. So that'll be family development. And I'm not saying that you will not develop a family But what I am saying that this is the family development energy. Okay. And this is also interesting. So your second quadrant, the cusp of your second quadrant is Cancer. Cancer is assigned to key seven, the Chariot. All right. And the ruling planet for Cancer is the moon. So you have your first quadrant, Aries, with the ruling planet. You have your second quadrant, family development. The ruling sign is Cancer for the entire quadrant. And the ruling planet is Moon, which is in your second quadrant. Yeah, the way I see this chart so far, especially with only three planets on the bottom half of your chart, okay, your subjective world, people are going to come to you from the outside and reveal aspects to you. Okay, they're mirrors. And then it's up to you to learn how to respond, okay, the open-mindedness, how you respond to them and learn about yourself. Okay, you're very fiery, so watch out for the quick responses. And if they do happen, so what? Just the next day or the next month, you have that experience to reflect on and learn something about yourself and how to use your energy. Okay. All right. So when it comes to family development, Moon is the ruling planet. And to put simply, if you're focusing on family development, think about your moon and think about your fifth house. All right. Let's talk about your social development. I'm going to change the color to yellow. Social development. Right here. So, your descendant. The ruling zodiac sign is Libra. And with Libra, the ruling planet is Venus. Hang on. It's Venus. Okay. There we go. You also can use key 11, justice, as the tarot image for your subconscious to contemplate on and meditate on. And we can see that we have the scales here that she's holding for balance, right? Libra itself, it's constantly looking for balance within relationships, but the balance has to come within self first. Okay. Use your ruling planet, or when it comes to social development, it is in your first house, Aries. So if, let's say, there's some difficulty with social development in whatever way, maybe public speaking could be a difficulty. Okay. Public speaking is a type of social development. Think about Venus in Aries, first house, and that will help align you and get you back in the flow for your social development. All right. The attributions of the qualities, the characteristics. All right, now you do have some help within social development. You got four planets in social development. You have Pluto in Scorpio. Now, Pluto is the ruling planet of Scorpio. Traditionally, it's Mars, but the higher octave of Mars is Pluto. And Pluto in Scorpio is deep, penetrating interests into the mysterious. And it could be with power, could be with occultism, could be exploring the dark side of life. But know that Pluto in the seventh house, okay, this is the relationships house. This is a source of power. All right. There's gonna be some transformative life experiences with relationships within you, within this lifetime. All right, especially the towards the second half of your life. All right. You got Pluto up here, who will ensure that your will and divine will attempts to align in order for your soul to maximize on its conscious evolution and its personal and its expanded awareness and its and also with your very personal life experiences. All right. Now, for the it also means that the complex emotionally complex. Okay, Pluto and Scorpio, very emotionally complex, and the emotional intensity with compulsive attraction will attract the opposite of you when it comes to especially romantic relationships. Okay. Because superficial relationships don't last with you with this chart. They will not last. You may play with the other partner for a short period of time, kind of like a cat with a cat toy, but if you're not learning and growing, then your subconsciousness will respond, you'll get irritated, and then you'll move on and find another partner. Although, when you do find that romantic partner, and then you consider marriage, that area of space could be the space for your greatest growth. Okay, because you got Pluto in the seventh house and it's in Scorpio. You gotta remember, you got it's not gonna be that easy, even though the seventh house is well developed because it's over 30 degrees. It means in other lifetimes, you've had successful relationships, possibly marriage. But at the same time, in this lifetime, you have Pluto there to help you to create, not waste time with marriage and relationships. When you marry, you're gonna want to marry and know that's who you want to be with, and it may just be for 10 years. Don't know. I'm not gonna say it's gonna last a lifetime of like a 50-year marriage because again, your first house and your fifth house, that fiery inside. But if you could tough it out and make the most of it, learn the lessons and grow together, that's the importance to grow together. All right, so Pluto's important. Pluto in your chart's very important. Let's talk about your Saturn. And this can be difficult when it comes to trusting others in a deep way. Saturn in Scorpio, okay, trusting others in a deep way doesn't come easy. But the desire is there. It's the deep desire to be emotionally vulnerable with others that you do trust. That's a genuine desire. So it's kind of like an oxymoron or it's a difficulty. We'll just call it that. So trusting others doesn't come easy, but there's this deep desire where you want to be emotionally vulnerable with others who you do trust. Okay. So learn to let go of controlling personal relationships so that the vulnerability side can soften a little bit. and try to develop understanding of others. Try to meet them where they're at if possible. Okay. And Saturn will help you with these life experiences. All right. But with Saturn being in the eighth house, you may strongly resist changes and transitions, but the goal is to welcome changes and have a perspective of curiosity. All right. Also, Saturn's about limits. Also, with Saturn in Scorpio in the eighth house, you may want to keep your possessions as yours and not share. Right? You may tend to be careful in joining forces, or even in marriage, there might be little things that play out, like separate checking accounts, or this is mine and mine only. So that we really don't want to have that play out all the time, because then you could pigeonhole yourself, right? Push everybody out, and then the not sharing could be very, very difficult. All right. Uranus in your ninth house. Uranus in Sagittarius. So this is interesting, because I haven't even got to your Pisces. You're a Pisces. So all this fire and emotions, but I really think that your Pisces, yeah, Pisces in 12th house is here to create balance within your chart. All right. You're also on a soul level ending. You're ending something. You're ending a cycle. Before we get here, that just kind of flared up within me, and I felt like I needed to say it, because maybe you're perceiving what I'm saying as you're like this wrecking ball, you're this fiery individual, but know that you have Piscean aspects that are very strong and that play out also. All right, let me clear the chart and let's go back to your social development. Let's talk about your Uranus and your ninth house. So it's in Sagittarius also, and you're very unconventional in a sense. Your vantage point towards traditional religion is restrictive, or even possibly meaningless, with little to offer you. And this could also be part of your soul's evolution too. You've already experienced it, and that's why your sun's in the 12th house in Pisces. But know that you're very creative and innovative, because you react to limits in a way where they repel you in a sense. So you want that freedom to be very creative. All right. Oh, and you have Neptune in the ninth house also. So these two, one likes to go within chaos and organize it. That's Uranus. Whereas Neptune in the ninth house, it would actually accept the conservative and traditional outlook, because it's in Capricorn. Even though Capricorn's in your ninth house also, Capricorn's about stability, conservative and traditional outlook, create balance. So this might make the reactions kind of cynical towards religious and spiritual ideas. Okay. But remember, when we're cynics in a way, that can be little ego. We want to upgrade our ego to divine creator's ego, right? We create mirrors when we're cynical. So this is where compassion can be important to be aware of. All right. So there can be chaos. We'll just use religious organizations as an example. Go within. It doesn't work for you, but at the same time, go into this religious organization and be a cynic and cynical toward it. We don't want that, right? If anything, Neptune might be here in your chart to help create mirrors. And that way, you can refine your personal development, okay? Your personal development and your social development, because these are the smaller quadrants. You might be catalyzed, you might be triggered in a lot of ways. All right. But you have otherworldly imagination and you love to dream and fantasize. So just watch out from removing yourself from everyday existence. Okay. All right. What else? Let's go to the fourth quadrant. And you have, this is a nice placement. You got Jupiter in Aquarius. And we'll talk about it in a minute. But Capricorn is your cusp for the fourth quadrant, career development. And key 15 is Capricorn is assigned to key 15, the devil. All right. Now, notice because we talked about your Saturn and limitations, real quick, notice how the female figure and the male figure have chains around their neck, but these chains are very loose to a half cube. Now, a half cube is a half truth, right? A full cube, look at the emperor sitting on a full cube, that's truth. The charioteer is riding in a full cube. The devil, which is man-made, delusional, is standing on a half cube. The female figure represents the subconsciousness. The male figure represents self-consciousness. And they are choosing to be chained to the half cube. They could easily take these chains off, right? They're choosing limitation. They could take these chains off and be free. But for the time being, and we all do this, we choose to live in a delusional state, right? The veils that actually are created by our reactions or the way we perceive others, until we release those perceptions and those old beliefs, then we're going to keep ourselves chained to the half cube. But going back to Capricorn being the ruler of your career development, Capricorn's at home. And so how you want to be perceived in the world is your career development. Okay. Doesn't mean that this quadrant is all about how you're going to find a job and work it and develop a career. Okay. Career development is how you want to present yourself to the world. That's a better way of saying it. How you want to present yourself to the world, how you individualize. Okay. Now, Jupiter in Aquarius, it means that you're very progressive. And oh, wait, let me back up. The ruling planet of Capricorn is Saturn. Okay. So when it comes to career development, allow your subconscious to know that you know that Saturn is the ruling planet. And if if there are some times where you feel unbalanced when it comes to career development and how you want to be perceived in the world, think about Saturn, focus on Saturn in the eighth house, and try to express in a Scorpio way with Saturn qualities, and you'll realign back within yourself. Okay? This is the center. This is perfect alignment, and this is where we want to be to remain in flow for the life that we have chosen in this lifetime. All right, so Jupiter in the 11th house. This is important because Jupiter, your fortune will come from working with groups and organizations and communities, being in front of people, with people. Okay. That's your fortune's going to come from sort of being in the middle of everyone. All right. 11th house is home of Aquarius. And traditionally, Jupiter is the ruling planet for Aquarius. Jupiter loves being an Aquarius. Okay. Expansiveness, freedom. Most likely, you're not going to have a 9-to-5 job. Right. Same thing every day. 1 hour lunch break. And if you do, that's fine. But know that your energy is most likely going to push you out of that type of arena, or you're way too dynamic for the simple, mundane type of life. And Jupiter's going to help you with that. It's almost as you're supposed to be in the spotlight in front of everybody. Everybody needs to see you. Think Taylor Swift. Think about Taylor Swift. Everybody is watching Taylor Swift, and she knows she is single definition to be in front of everybody and perform with her creativity. Okay. Now, this is where it gets a little interesting because you're a Pisces. Which is great. That just fuels your imagination even more. You have so much imagination and creative expression. It's very strong, very powerful. But Pisces is here. Your sun in Pisces, your Mercury in Pisces, they're here. You're shining light in the 12th house. You're finishing up a cycle, okay, on a soul level, on a human level. But you have a very gentle. Well, let me put it this way. Sun in Pisces is very gentle from the heart space. Okay. Pisces are some of the most loving types of individuals, but at the same time, they can become piranhas and just chew someone up and spit them out. Right? That's the lower influence of Pisces. But the heart space is just oozing out of with love because of the oneness, right? 12th house is all about oneness and integrating with the divine creator back into source, releasing all karma. So your inner world, your imagination, your feelings, your intuition, all of that is as real to you as anything in the outer world. But you have difficulty verbalizing it or interpreting your inner experiences with the outer world. Okay. It's just so rich, very colorful. And you're very mystical. You're a genuine mystic. Even though with all your fire and your Pluto and Scorpio, your intensity. You, with Sun in Pisces, you are a peacemaker. And Sun in Pisces will help you try to avoid conflict in a sense. So you got Aries who will take your energies in Aries who try to face conflict head on. And then you got Pisces which will try to avoid conflict in a higher influential way. Okay. And also to sort of balance out all this fiery energy, you have a tendency to be kind of lazy. Sun in Pisces has a tendency to be lazy. The energy and relax and have that whatever and detachment. Okay. Yeah, definitely not saying you're lazy, but Sun in Pisces, they have the pattern of response to have a lazy type of persona. Also with Pisces in the 12th house, it's interesting. I see all this as counterbalance with your fire, but Pisces in the 12th house means working behind the scenes, right? Not being recognized, but getting things done with your creativity. So Pisces in the 12th house doesn't really want to assert itself in front of audiences, which could be difficult. But at the same time, your energy desires and almost requires you to be in front of audiences, in front of everyone. Which leads me to what I call vibrational astrology. And the way vibrational astrology works is I will zoom in on your natal chart. Okay. Vibrational astrology will multiply all the angles between all the planets by the vibration, and then it magnifies the strongest orbs of any aspects that are revealed through the natal chart. Okay, so your strongest harmonic was the 325th vibration. And you have three, we all have 360 harmonics within the one vibration we carry within this lifetime. Your strongest harmonic was 325. Your second harmonic was the 199th. And then your third strongest was 141st. All right, and this goes all the way down to 360. But I only listed the top three, and I only listed a very short summary and label of the 360, the 325th vibration, which is theatrical wisdom provocateur, right? Again, you're supposed to be in front of everyone. We just look at your Aries in your first house, and this is the chart for your 325th vibration. Your first house is slam full with squares. Okay. So Saturn's trying to limit you on the inner world so that you could build up a charge and go about and express these qualities. I am, right? I am who I am. And then you also have trines here that are helping you. So this is a sextile right here. You have plenty of reinforcements. And if this resonates with you for who you are, then I'm very happy that you can see this, because the minor arcana key four, or the Four of Wands, is assigned to the 325th vibration, the Lord of Completion. Celebrate your accomplishments and enjoy the stability, the harmony you have worked hard to create and that you brought to your success. Okay. So perseverance, again, that's going to be the theme for your life. Okay? As you boldly express yourself as a power of public influence, persevere. Okay. Push through any kind of criticism or any kind of limitations that Saturn will bring to you, and it's only to grow the charge within you to keep pushing forward. All right. But at the same time, remember, you'll have to learn how to this lifetime, learn how to relate to others. Okay, that's very important. Relate to others doesn't mean that you have to understand them completely, but with all that fire, probably need to. Well, you do have Pluto and Jupiter here and Taurus for your strongest vibe, and they will help create some stability for you. Okay. They will slow down your fire. You have these water signs right here for emotional intelligence. Okay. You have Neptune here for your creative endeavors, your imagination, which is very rich. All right. And then, of course, you got your sun in Scorpio, emotional depth in the ninth house, shining light on your first house of who you can be, who you will be. It's not much choice in this lifetime, which will be very beautiful. Okay. All right. Hopefully that was very helpful. That was a fun chart. I've read 8 or 9 charts in the past few days in the 4-1 group, and this chart was a lot of fun. It's very interesting how I don't even know what you look like, or much less your personality, but you definitely would be a fun person to be around, especially when you're centered. Okay. We have to center in ourselves, know ourselves, accept ourselves for who we are. All right. With our energies, with the vibration that we carry into this lifetime, and then become the creator. Right. Become that powerful 325th vibration and be an influential success to yourself, which will be projected outward and influential success for others. Okay. All right. That was fun. Thank you.